A few weeks ago, the Lord was talking to me, and he just kind of prompted me. He said, I want you to share on the Word. This has been several weeks ago, and I just kind of, it's been percolating, and talking to Pastor, and he's going to be out of town this weekend, and so we had the opportunity to share, and just been sitting on that Word and waiting for the Lord to kind of sow into that. And that's kind of a broad topic, right? We're going to talk about the Word of God. And so I was like, Lord, I need you to kind of focus this thing in. So I think I've got it down to somewhere under an hour and a half. So I think we'll be okay this morning. Just kidding. just kidding. But today I want to be sharing about the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. And I believe that the Word of God is to be released in this place this morning. It's got nothing to do with me, but He's here. And I think He wants to speak to us this morning, and I've already gotten confirmation of that. I'm going to ask Leslie to come forward. She's received a word, and she's going to speak that word and release it for us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to share this really quick with you. The Lord's been speaking to me a lot, and some of you who are close to me have heard me talk about this lately, about the seasons and the shedding of the leaves and being willing to let go of the dead things that we don't need in our life anymore. In order for the tree to receive new leaves, it has to shed the old ones. They change color, they die, they served a wonderful purpose, and now it's time to let it go. When the leaves fall and hit the ground, it decays and it goes back into the dirt, and it becomes nutrients for the new soil. And it enriches the soil. So that during the winter when we can't see the fruit, it goes deep into the ground, and the roots of the tree or the plant of whatever it is goes deeper and gathers the nutrients from far under because the surface is too cold. And as it gathers nutrients, it prepares for the season of blossom. And the Lord showed me how this is related to the wilderness experience. When the people were called out of Egypt, they were called out of slavery. They begged the Lord for freedom. And the Lord said, yes, I'll give you freedom. But in the freedom, you have to go through the wilderness to get there. And in the wilderness, it feels like more bondage. It feels like, God, where have you forsaken me? Because it's cold and your roots are going deep. But it's the place of miracles. In the desert, we see all of the miracles that were happening with the Lord. He didn't go by fire by night and cloud by day in the promised land. He did that in the wilderness. He didn't provide manna every single day and quail in the promised land. He did it in the wilderness. So that we would know who He is in the deepest places where we can't see because the surface is cold. But under the soil, He's tilling, He's digging. And if we will embrace that wilderness season, the winter, the place where we can let go of the dead leaves, then we can handle the promises on the other end. Because until the children could know their God, they couldn't inherit His kingdom. But once they knew their God, His kingdom was at their fingertips. So this is to encourage you. I don't know about you, but I had a really hard week. And I was hit from a lot of sides. And when God shines the light into the darkness, we don't always like what we see. And I didn't like what I saw very much this week. And so I'm asking the Lord to keep shining that light because it burns away those things if we will let it. We will always be growing. There will always be a winter. So embrace the winter so that when the spring comes, you're ready.
Amen. And I'm believing that that is not the only word that is going to be released in this place today. So again, I want to talk about the power of God's word. Most of us here, you know, we grow up in church and we grow up with the word. And we're familiar with the word. But I think at least what the Lord was telling me is that, you know, sometimes we forget the power of that word. The power of the word of God. The word of God reveals the character of God. This is a revelatory word. We read this word and we can understand who God is, his character, his heart, his desires, his purposes, his plans. We can understand that. Now, there's no way for me to speak on the word without quoting a lot of word. So we are going to have a lot of scriptures this morning. We're going to read the word of God. So just be ready. Go ahead and lick those fingertips. Get those pages ready to turn or your Bible app, whatever it is. Get that thumb flexed and ready to go. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. I want to start with John chapter 1, familiar passage, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Father, I just come to you this morning, and I ask first that I be cast aside. Lord, nobody's come here today to hear what I have to say. We are here to hear from you. And so, Lord, I ask that you take over, that you take control, and that everything that is said is your word and your will. Lord, your word is power. And I pray, God, that you show up in a way that the power is undeniable. And that we enter into your presence, that we leave encouraged in the word. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go, we looked at this verse here in John chapter 1. And many of you are familiar with, there are a couple of Greek words that are translated word in the New Testament. One of those is logos. The logos word. And unfortunately, English struggles to translate appropriately this word. The logos really means an account, a discourse, a story. The other word is rhema. And the rhema means utterance. It's the act of speaking. So a rhema is a spoken word. A logos is a story. It's not just a single word. It's the full story of God. Think about that. Let's go back and look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was God's story. God's conversation with mankind was from the beginning. Before the beginning, the story was there. The plan of God was already evident, already present with God. That was the Logos word. We see in Scripture there are actually three manifestations of God's word. There is the written word, and honestly, that's the one we think of the most when we think about the word of God. We're thinking about Scripture, right? Book and chapter and verse. That's what generally comes to our mind first when we think of God's word. The written word. But there's a second manifestation, and that is the spoken word. The rhema, the utterance of God. And there's a third manifestation of the word of God, and that is the living word. If we keep going in John chapter 1 and we get to verse 14, and it says, "And the word became flesh." The story of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The powerful story of God became flesh and dwelt among us. So really, there's that living word. The word is a person. The word is a person alive and active and moving and doing and creating and healing. That is the living word of God. The word has power. And that's what I want to talk about today for a few minutes. The power of the word of God. Because again, I know sometimes I forget about that. I forget about the power. You ever go through those, you know, I'm not good at the read the Bible in a year plans. I don't do well with those because what I tend to do as a bit of a rule follower and kind of OCD, I get caught up in the, you know, I've got three chapters to knock out today and I got to read those and time's running short. And so I sit down and I kind of zip right through them and I check the box and I move on. And before I know it, you know, it's Valentine's Day and I can't tell you a thing I've read. I don't know. I'm stuck somewhere in the end of Genesis or, you know, Begats or something. And I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'm lost. I've forgotten the power of the Word of God. But the Word has dividing power. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is a dividing power. It says it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit. We talk about, you know, that we are body, soul, and spirit, right? And we talk about our soul as our mind, our will, and our emotions. But it says the word divides soul and spirit. Why do I need my soul divided from my spirit? Because when they're entangled, and I try to do things with my soul, with my mind, and my will, my emotions, I'm hindering the spirit. I've got the spirit bound up in me. I've got the spirit bound up in my soul, what I want, what I think, what I feel. And I need the word to come into my life and separate the soul and the spirit. I need my spirit man free to accomplish what he's called me to accomplish. I need to get me out of the way. I need that dividing power of the Word of God to separate, divide my soul from my spirit. because my soul is going to slow me down. It's going to get in the way of what God is trying to do. I need the dividing power of the Word of God in my life. I also need the nourishing power of the Word of God. We said this word is life. So guys in Sunday school, here's the repeat. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. Now when the tempter, the devil, came to him, Jesus, the devil said, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The devil was trying to get Jesus to address a flesh problem with a flesh answer. But Jesus understands that the natural follows the spiritual. And his response to the enemy was, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Devil, you're dealing with the wrong problem. You're not going to trip me up. My belly's rumbling, but that's not my problem. I know who my source is. I know who my provider is. I have the nourishing Word of God in me. And I don't need earthly bread to sustain me. The Word is life. The Word is life. What I need is that life in me. I need to plug into that source. That loaf of bread is not my source. Stuff is not my source. The money in my bank account, that's not my source. The groceries in my cabinet, not my source. My job is not my source. The Word of God is life to me. That is my source, the Word of God, the nourishing power. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We should hunger for the Word of God, that nourishing life. We should desire it like a baby desires milk. If I don't get it, I'm going to die. I don't understand it. I don't know all the details. All I know is I got to have it. It's that important to me. It is critical. I need the Word of God. I need the nourishing power of the Word of God. I need life, and I can only find it here. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them." They are my life. The Word sustains me. The Word has nourishing power. I cannot survive without this Word. It is everything to me. Can I trust it? Can I trust the Word of God? The God of God's word is certain. It has foundational power, strength to hold me up. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When the word of God goes forth, it cannot return void. It cannot return empty. It will accomplish the thing it was sent to accomplish. There's nothing in hell, nothing on earth can stop the power of the word of God. It will be done. It is a guiding power. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I need the word to light my way, to give me direction, to give me goals, to give me purpose. The word of God provides that in my life. The word has cleansing power. Whew, I need this one. No amens, Wendy. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. It's the only way I can clean up my act. I can't clean up my act. His word cleans up my act. He cleanses me. John 15:3, Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. My word cleaned you. You're clean because of the word I've spoken to you that I have proclaimed over you. You don't bring anything to that equation. I don't bring anything to that equation. I can't clean me up. But boy, we try. We try to walk in cleansing power. And we end up with righteousness as filthy rags. That's the best clean we can get, is filthy rags. It's still dirty. It's junk. The word is spirit and life to us. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Listen to this. The flesh profits nothing. That goes back to that dividing power of the soul and the spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So why don't we walk in power? We're all excited about the power of God's word. We're amening. Why aren't we walking in it? I think we've got some word problems. I'm not talking about, you know, Joe had three apples and Sally had 10 apples and how many apples do they have together. I'm not talking about that kind of word problem. But we do have some word problems. And I think the first word problem we have is, what word do we listen to? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When the word of God is proclaimed and life happens, you can't help but have your faith built up, your faith strengthened. When I hear the word of God proclaimed and I see the word of God in action, my faith is strengthened. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our problem is, and wives, you know, you're going to probably amen on this one, but some of us have selective hearing. Selective hearing. All right, dads, we can tune things out sometimes, right? There's lots of stuff going on around us, and we're sitting on a couch and we're watching the ball game or the back of our eyelids or whatever it is, and we tune things out. We choose what we listen to. We choose the words we hear. How many of you on the way in this morning had the radio on in the car? I did. You know, that radio is just that somewhere in this atmosphere. There are little waves of sound. And it's floating through here. And I was listening to K-Love coming in. And K-Love is in this room right now. But we don't hear it. Because we don't have a receiver tuned in to K-Love at this moment. The sound is in the room, but we're not plugged into it. We're not tuned into it. We're not hearing that word. We choose what we listen to. We have to choose to tune into the word of God. But here's a warning. There's a warning in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. This is sobering. Listen to this. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We all turn the radio off. We've hit the power button, we've shut it down, and we no longer hear it. We've unplugged from the word of God. I don't want to be living in those days. I don't want to be living a life of famine from hearing the word of God. I need to stay plugged in. So we hear conflicting words, conflicting voices coming at us. The world is telling us all kinds of junk. The enemy is bringing all kinds of junk and is whispering in our ear, you're not going to be good enough. You're never going to measure up. Yeah, you're doing okay, but you should be doing better. You keep stumbling along. There's all kinds of stuff that the enemy throws at us. So we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Does what you hear line up with the Bible and the character of God as revealed in the Bible? This is the standard. This is the foundation. God's never going to speak a word that conflicts with the written word. He's not going to do it. At best, he'd be confused. At worst, he's a liar and a deceiver. But God cannot lie. So he's never going to speak a word to you or over you that conflicts with the written word. It's not going to happen. So does what you hear line up with the written word, the character of God? If it doesn't, shut it off. Shut it off. And secondly, does what you hear produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Does what you hear produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life? If you're hearing a word that brings fear or doubt or confusion or impatience, caution. Caution. God's not going to speak a word over you that's going to stir up anger, that's going to stir up unforgiveness, that's going to stir up envy in your heart. That's not from the Lord. That's not God's word spoken over you. Does the word you hear produce the fruit of the Spirit? So what words are we listening to? Our second word problem, what word do we speak? So just because I've heard it doesn't mean I'm going to speak in agreement with it. I can choose to hear and ignore, to hear and disagree. Psalm 35:28 says, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long." So we're to speak righteousness, the righteousness of God. We're to praise God's name. That should be the word that we're speaking. Psalm 37:30, "The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice." Proverbs 12:18, "There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword." Somebody, their words just stab and cut. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. So we're to speak health. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You see, our human language is symbolic, it's descriptive. So when I say car, a picture comes to your mind. All right, and they're out in the parking lot. When I say car, we all have an idea of what I'm talking about. That's our language. When I say book, we understand. When I say book, we know what I'm talking about. We get a picture. But God's language is reality. What God says is. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God says to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still," there is stillness and there is peace. When God says, "Son, your sins are forgiven," sins are forgiven. It is done. You see, so when God speaks, his word is reality. It's not a picture. It's not a representation. It is reality. And the last question, the last word problem I'm going to pose this morning, what word do we live? What word do we live? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Jesus is talking. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So here's the thing, both houses look the same on the outside. Both houses look the same until the storms come. We can put on the show and we can put on the pretty mask and we can walk in here and we can pat each other on the back and we can say life is good and our houses look fine. But then the storms come. And when the storms show up is when we see our true foundation. Am I hearing? Am I speaking the word of God? Am I living the word of God? Or is it all just a show? It's interesting that this parable that Jesus gives of the wise and the foolish builder immediately follows Jesus talking about those who prophesied in his name, who cast out demons in his name, who did many wonders in his name. And Jesus said, "I don't know you." The houses looked the same on the outside, but the foundations were different. I always ask myself, well, how are they casting out demons and prophesying in Jesus' name, and he doesn't even know them? Lord, How does that work? How are they able to do things if you don't even know who they are? It goes back to that verse, his word cannot return void. When his word is proclaimed, it will accomplish what it was set to accomplish. Even if there's somebody ignorant proclaiming that word, his word is still going to go forth. Balaam opened his mouth to call out curses, and the Lord turned it around and blessings came. James 1:21-25, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word, and continues in it, does it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Am I living God's word? The word holds all things together. And the further we get from the word, the more things fall apart. Remember as a kid, you know, playing on the playground, they had the little merry-go-round thing, and there would be somebody, that would kind of stand on the outside and spin it around, and everybody else just tries to hang on for dear life as long as you can, right? So you always wanted to be the one on the outside spinning. But I can remember as a kid, we figured something out. We said, oh, well, you can get to go much faster if you get in the middle and push instead of standing on the outside and push. And so we would get in the middle of those merry-go-rounds and we'd start running. But unfortunately, what we did not calculate is that it would go so fast that my feet could not keep up. And so you're the one in the middle, you end up getting, you're not slung off, but you're getting beat up, right? Your head's getting the merry-go-round and you're all tangled up in it, and it's not good. The further we get from the word, the more things fall apart. Our problem is we want to put everything in order so that we can hear God. We want to, okay, Lord, let's just let me get tidied up so I can hear you. But God says, no, just come listen to me. Come listen to my voice. I'll set everything in order in your life. If you'll listen to my voice, I'll take care of all the stuff. You don't have to do that first. So we've talked about the power of the Word of God, and we've talked about some of the problems that hold us back from walking in the power of the Word of God. And I want to do something a little different this morning as I close. We're going to speak the word of God this morning. So we all come in here and we've got stuff and we've got other people speaking into our lives, whether that's family or friends or coworkers or the devil himself speaking into our ears. And he comes in and he tells us things and we hear stuff. And I'm going to encourage you. The written word is powerful. But when we speak the word of God, it becomes the living word. It's one thing to memorize a verse. It's another to speak that verse, to speak the word. When you speak the word, there's a power released. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I'm going to encourage you when you go home, whatever it is you're struggling with. I mean, you know, you got a computer, go to Google and say, oh, what's the word of God say about anxiety? What's the word of God say about debt? What's the word of God say about adultery? And you'll find verses. Find a verse that speaks to you. Print that out. Put it where you can see it. Put it all over the house. And every time you see it, read it out loud. Speak it out loud. Proclaim the word of God over your situation, over your problem, over your circumstance. And I'm telling you, it won't take long. If you speak in the word of God, you won't even remember what you were speaking it over. The power of God released will overcome that. So I'm going to speak the word of God over us today. And again, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm just speaking God's word, not Scott's word. Scott's word is useless. Scott's word has no power. Scott's word benefits you zero. We're going to speak God's word over circumstances in our lives this morning. And if that word speaks to you, if it touches you, and however the Lord spurs your heart, if you need to get up and you need to praise, or you need to dance, or you need to bow, or however it is, release that. Don't hold that back. Let the power of God sweep over you in this place this morning. Let the power of God, God's word released in your life. So if you need to come forward, go backward, you know, run that way, this way, it doesn't matter to me. We're just going to follow the prompting of the Lord as we speak his word over our lives this morning. When the enemy says you're broke, you're always going to be in need, you say, devil, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I am blessed. I am a joint heir with Christ. I have obtained an inheritance. When the enemy says you're sick and you're never going to be well, you say, devil, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am alive in Christ. I am a partaker in his divine nature. I am being changed into his image. When the enemy says you're alone and you're always going to be alone, you tell the devil, I am brought near by the blood of Christ. I am in Christ Jesus. I am a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. When the enemy says you're trapped in sin and you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to get out of this mess, you're no good to anybody, you say, I am forgiven of all my sins and washed in the blood. I am a new creation. I am delivered from the power of darkness. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am a saint. I am holy and blameless. I am dead to sin. I am free from condemnation. I am reconciled to God. I have everlasting life and will not be condemned. I am set free. When the enemy says you have no value, you say, I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I am complete in him. I am the righteousness of God through Christ. When the enemy says your life has no purpose, you have no destiny, you say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am chosen. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am called of God. When the enemy says you are unlovable, you say, I am beloved of God. I am accepted as the beloved. When the enemy says you're just confused, you're scared, you're timid, you say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And when the enemy says you are weak and powerless, you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am victorious. I am strong in the Lord. I am more than a conqueror. I am raised up with Christ and made to sit in heavenly places. I have overcome the world. I shall do even greater works than Christ Jesus through his power. I have received power, the power of the Holy Spirit, power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, power to cast out demons, power over all my enemies. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the power of your word released in us today. God, you have made us more than conquerors, and there is nothing that devil, there is nothing this world can throw at us that can stand in the way. You have overcome the world. Your power is alive in me, alive in us. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in me. I have no need of fear. I have no need of worry. I rest in you. I trust in you. You give me power through your word, alive in me. And I thank you, and I give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be dismissed in the power of God. If you need to come and pray over one another or dance or whatever it is you do it, just obey the Spirit and the leading of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your power.